You know, it's good to see young people excited about serving God. There's so much in this world that could grab them, and not only grab them, but keep them hostage. And yet they're deciding that they want to serve God. And Kendall, I got to say this. I think your son drew all the attention. He got the show today. Amen. But we're grateful again to be in the house of the Lord. We thank God for each one of you. I want to remind our members that on this coming Friday night, we will be having our church meeting. And we're going to meet 1 hour earlier at 6 o'clock to go over our calendar for the year. And then we'll have the church meeting at 7 p.m. So that's this Friday night on March the 18th. And we'll be having our church meeting. So we thank you for in advance for your attendance. Amen? 17th? Yes, 17th. I was just checking. On the 18th, we have to go to the installation service down in Bedford for Reverend Scotty Kraft. That's going to be at the Antioch Baptist Church, and that'll be at 5 p.m. on the 18th. Amen? Have your Bible. Turn with us to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we've been talking about being fruitful. We've been talking about your field that God has given you, the responsibilities that you have of bearing fruit. And today we want to be a little bit more specific. We're going to get into some areas in your life and my life where we need to think about what kind of fruit is God getting out of our lives. I want to again welcome those that are online. We welcome those that are in here. We're grateful again that the Lord has blessed us to come together one more time. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. I know it's hard to do with your Bible in your hand, but that's okay. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may produce more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The ones that abide in me and I in them, the same produce much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, they are cast aside as a branch and are withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want to share a thought with you today, producing God's fruit. Producing God's fruit. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous opportunity that we have of sharing your word. And Lord, as we want you to turn us up to make sure that the world is listening, to make sure that we're giving the world what they need. We're seeing a lot of chaos. We're seeing a lot of confusion. And I pray that you'd help us to be fruit bearers, that in our lives we might speak of the glory and honor of Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless us now as only you can do, and help us that we might not only receive the truth, but walk in it. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name and for his sake. And everyone said, amen. How do you produce God's fruit? There are a lot of people that ask the question about life and they say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. This sermon, you're going to learn what your purpose is. Your purpose is to bear fruit, not just any kind of fruit, but God's fruit. It's very important because you were created by God Almighty. And he definitely has a plan for your life and my life. And I might further add, unless you are complying with the things of God, your life will never reach the level where you want it to be. You'll never be at the place where you desire in life. And truth is, you'll never be happy until you learn God's plan and put it in action. It is only in Christ, only in our Lord, that we're able to produce this kind of fruit. When Jesus said, "I am the true vine," obviously he was talking about another vine that exists in the world. That's the vine of the earth. That's the vine that we're seeing every day in our news, in our lives. We encounter people that are feeding and are connected to that vine of the world. It's producing chaos. It's producing murders. It's producing everything that is vile, everything that is evil. And it's causing our society to be corrupted because it's not God's fruit. God's fruit is the fruit that brings life. Jesus said, "In me, you will have life, and you'll have it more abundantly." Isn't that wonderful? And yet we're seeing destruction. We're seeing nation against nation. We're seeing people against people. We're seeing families against families, all because they've had this connection with the world rather than of God. Before Jesus went back to heaven, on the night that he was betrayed, before he went to on trial by Pilate, and before he was nailed to that old rugged cross, he wanted his disciples to receive this important message. "I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be fruitful." As a matter of fact, he said, "I don't just want you to be fruitful. I want you to be very fruitful. I want your life to be very productive." Now let's take an evaluation. Let's step back. Let's look at our life right now. Can we honestly say before God that our life is very fruitful? We probably say, "Well, yeah, it's somewhat, but I need to be able to bear much fruit." I'm going to give you five principles today that's going to help us in this, because you don't want to just be wandering around through life and, you know, trying to fit into that right place. You want to connect with Jesus. You want to be able to say, "Lord, I thank you that I'm in Christ." This is not about religion. This is about living. While you were sent to this planet, God expected certain things of you. And he will not put more on you than what you're capable of doing. I'll demonstrate that in just a minute. But there are several questions that many would have when they think about bearing fruit to God. We want to know, what does it mean? What does it mean? If I'm going to bear God's fruit, what does it mean? We know that Adam and Eve was created and they were fruitful. God gave them command to be very fruitful and multiply. God has not changed that, by the way. He's not changed that. And he's not just talking about producing more people. He's talking about the character of your life. What it really means to have true character. What it means to really grasp what God is all about and live it. Demonstrate it by what you do. Not only is it something that we should ask, what does it mean? Now you got to ask about, am I capable? Do I have the capacity? Can I do this? We read the scripture and we often say, "I can do all things through Christ." Well, can you bear fruit? That's the question that we are faced with now. It's easy for me to default and go back to my flesh and act out of my flesh, get angry like everybody else, get upset, do things that will harm others and myself. But that's not the fruit of God. That's not the kind of fruit that Jesus was talking about. So we're going to look at that today. We're going to find out, what does it mean to have God's fruit? What does it take to produce God's fruit? And then finally, what are the results? What am I going to get out of this? And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to blow your socks off. When you think about how God was so merciful and could have left us right where we were. God owed us nothing, but he gave us everything. Isn't that wonderful? God blesses in so many wonderful ways that we can know him and have fellowship with him. You're going to always have some struggles in life. Anybody doesn't have any struggles? Just as I thought, everybody got something. Dealing with this and dealing with that cannot change the fact that God is using you in a powerful way. When you're in the hands of Almighty God, He can do with you exactly what He wants. He simply says you need to be connected. So let's look at some things today. Let's observe this. Let's find out what we need in order to have God working in us, to have our life producing at the level where it should, and also to give God the praise and glory. That's our intention today. First, you got to look at the connection. What are you connected to? These days, I find a lot of people, they want to get online and get their connection. Social media. And I want to ask you a question. What is it feeding you? What is it really giving you? I'm not going to judge it. You judge. Is it helping you to produce the kind of fruit that you need to produce? Some people can't live without their phone. And I forget mine and leave it at the house all the time. Jesus said this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. There are two relationships in that verse. First, you have the relationship with the vine. And when you think about the vine and the life that it gives, that branch that's connected to the vine does not have to worry about where am I going to get my life from? How am I going to have that life source that feeds me, that nourishes me? It's from the vine. So you've got Jesus as your connection. When we tell people get saved, we're not just talking about, oh, yes, write your name on a church roll and automatically your name is written in heaven. That's kind of true, but it's not totally true. When you accept Christ in your life, you are connected with God Almighty. You have the power of God living and dwelling in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's good. Watch this. There's something better in that verse. Second relationship is with God the Father. You have a relationship with God the Father, and by default, you also have a relationship with the Holy Spirit because He is that life in you. He is that goodness of God that's dwelling in your heart and in your mind and in your soul. And notice He says in this, my Father is the vine dresser. The King James uses the word husbandman. Because it's talking about a relationship. It's talking about being connected with God in a loving way. This is not some robotic way of dealing with God and the Lord's just going to orchestrate you like a puppet. That doesn't work that way. It's about having God's life in your life. So now we got a question. Do we want to stay connected with the true vine or do we want the connection with the world? Will the things of the world feed you, nourish you, teach you, instruct you? Or will God be the one teaching and instructing and dwelling in you? God's doing it for a reason. When it said God so loved the world, it meant exactly that. God loved you enough that He wanted to include you in what He's doing. He wanted you to have His mind. He wanted you to have His ability. He wants you to have His strength. Because He knows what kind of world this is. Remember, we're talking about Jesus here. We're not talking about someone who remained on a planet called heaven and stayed there. We're talking about God who came in the flesh and dwelt among us. He knows what it means to cry. He knows what it means to hurt. He knows what it means for friends to turn their back on you. He knows the ups and downs of life, and Jesus has come into this world to show us how to live. And when you're connected with the vine, when you've got that true connection with God, you are able to tap into that life-giving power. Isn't that wonderful? Amid all the things that you go through, Through every time that you have a problem and you say, God, can you help me? He's right there. He's right there with you. He's walking with you. He's teaching you. He's showing you. This is how you're going to do this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be the first to admit, I don't know what the next life is all about. But I have this great suspicion that the next life has a lot to do with what's going on in this life. And if you can overcome this, you're going to certainly enjoy that. Amen? Before we get so heavenly minded, we've got to learn what is God's plan for my life right now. And the first one, everybody say it with me, connection. You've got to be connected. You can tell when you're connected to electricity, right? You can tell it. You grab a live wire, you're going to know it. But our devices, everything in this world depends on that connection. Your phone, it has to have power. Your car, everything that you deal with, it has to have that connection. And Jesus is saying, I want you to have a connection with my Father because it's going to be your life. It's going to be everything that you need. My Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me, I love that word, every branch. That means you, that means me, that means the one, that little child, that means all of those that are connected with Christ. You can say, I have God's life leading me. The good news is, it protects you. God being the vine dresser, he's not going to allow the things, the infestation of disease or these problems. And it says the little foxes spoil the vine. Any intruders to come in and to cause that vine harm, God's going to protect you. I know somebody's going to raise their hands and say, wait a minute, God didn't protect me from all of the things that I had to face. No, but he's bringing you through it. Protection does not mean that God will keep you from problems. Protection means that if you go through a problem and you're connected with God, he said, I'm going to make a way for you. How would you ever give a testimony if you didn't know that God could bring you out? How in the world could you lift your head up and say, I've been through this and I've been through that, but I want to thank God for bringing me through all of those things. You would not be able to hold your head up and say God is good if he had not been good in some bad situations. Do I have a witness today? Can somebody say he's my protector? He kept me every step of the way. When you look at God, he's hovering over your life. The Holy Spirit is working in your life and producing that which you cannot produce of yourself. I am the true vine. When Jesus gave that I am statement, it was not just a statement to say what I'm doing. It was a statement of who he was. He used the I am statements throughout the Gospel of John to emphasize the fact I am God. You got to recognize that he is God. He is looking at you and me, and guess what? God expects certain things of us. As your protector, he wants to protect you for a reason. And if he's protecting you, you must be of some kind of value. I want to talk to somebody because somebody has been devalued by the world. They told you that you're not going to be this and you'll never amount to anything. But God said differently. You are the branch and I've got my hand on you. I've got a plan for your life. I've got something that I'm going to do with you. I know your friends let you down. I know they railed on you on Facebook. But don't worry about what they said. Remember what he said. He is God Almighty. And he's come to protect you. He wants to work in you. He wants to work in me. Now, at this point, I need to pause and ask the question now. If God is my connection, he's my protector, what am I doing? What's happening in my life? Am I complying with his expectations? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Or am I doing my own thing? Your life is not your own. I'll go ahead and say that. Your life is not your own. He purchased you. He bought you with his own blood. He shed for you on Calvary. You were bought with a price. And this means God corrects us. You probably didn't think that. You wouldn't expect that, were you? I want God to bless me. I want God to anoint me, and I want God to appoint me. Well, he said, wait a minute, I got to correct you. Your plans are not my plans. Your thoughts are not necessarily my thoughts. So in order for that to line up, I've got to do something in your life called correction. He does it in love. Notice it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it or prunes it, that it may produce more fruit. In one of our programs here at the church, we get to visit the orchard. You get to buy the stuff out there, and when you drive up on the orchard, you look at the trees and you say, my goodness, they look like they've been cut. Yeah. That must hurt. Yeah. But you don't look at the plant, you look at the fruit. When you get up to the main office where everything is, then you see the fruit and you see why that branch had to be cut. Why it had to be trimmed back. A couple of things that can happen in your life. One, you can have substances to come in and defile you. So your vine dresser has to take away those things. Notice it says, everything that is in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Anybody had God to take some things out of you? Habits, addictions, attitudes, all of those things do not fit with God's plan. I would be a hypocrite if I stood here and told you I never did anything wrong since 1952. My mama would turn over in her grave. Time she had to come and get me from places where I shouldn't have been in the first place. You ain't gonna tell your story, I'll tell mine. I tell my story because I'll ruin the conversation of the gossip every time. You can't tell you, amen, because time you go to, I've already told it. I don't mind telling you where God brought me from, because the good news is he didn't keep me there. I'm on my way to something better. And if you're going to be fruitful in your life, it's about being on your way to something better in your life. Every branch, everybody say every branch. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he's going to do one or the other. Either he's going to take it away or he's going to trim it. Second problem that plant, you and me, that we face is we have this thing called excessive growth. We would produce more leaves than fruit if we could get away with it. We like to look good. You probably looked at yourself, reason why some of y'all were late for church. There, you looked at yourself in the mirror too many times. Hint, hint. And you should have been saying, okay, it is what it is. Let me go. We have this knack for wanting to look good. The people in Hollywood is all about looking good for the camera, but when the cameras are off, look at what happens to their life. God wants you to be genuine. And I learned one thing from the farm. If all of the growth is happening in these shoots, you're not going to have much fruit. We had to trim back some of the plants that we raised because the apple trees couldn't grow what it needed. Some of you have some things in your life that you're looking at as well. Well, I don't think I need to get rid of that. I need to be bold nowadays. And the Bible says you need to be humble. That's a growth. That's an abnormal growth in your life. Well, you know, you need to be proud of yourself. You need to stick your chest out. I hate to tell you this, but that's a growth. It doesn't mean to not acknowledge your accomplishments. That's not what the Bible is talking about. But when you depend on your accomplishments to the point that you don't recognize who helped you accomplish that, you're getting in trouble. Because the same God that brought you up, he can also bring you down. Every branch in Christ has to be pruned. And I tell you, don't look at the outward appearance. Look at what's happening on the inside. Ah, can I preach to you today? If you hadn't been pruned, you couldn't be as strong as you are right now. If God didn't send you down on your knees, you wouldn't be able to endure what you're enduring right now. Now you're able to say, I got a testimony because I know what God can do. I know that His favor is on my life. Even though sometimes He punishes me, when He raises me up, He keeps blessing me. Anybody can say He keeps on blessing me. God will correct you. As a matter of fact, parents have to correct their children. Hint, hint. They have to tell them when you're not doing good, and they have to help you to do what is right. Hint, hint. If you're not taught those things, you will be corrected by the other things in society. We don't recognize, well, you can't spank your children anymore. And I ain't say beat them to death. And yet, when the child gets in trouble, and the legal system gets involved, they can do with your child whatever they want. And all it took was a little correction at home. Parents, don't be afraid of the state. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Don't be afraid of the state. Don't be afraid, well, I can't do this with my child. I ain't said mark them and hurt them and all of that. Sometimes a good talking to will help your child. And I'll tell you what else helps. This Bible. Greatest correction tool that you've ever discovered in your life. It'll tell you what to do and it'll tell you what not to do. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, God trims it. He takes away and He prunes it that it might bear much fruit. Notice that verse 3. It says that now you are clean. Great God Almighty, I want to be clean. I want to be clean. I want to be clean inside. And what would it make you clean inside? For God to come in and cleanse your conscience. Everybody in this room has done something that you ought not to have done. Some of you are still allowing those things to haunt your mind and to taunt you. Well, you did this and remember you did that. But that was then. This is now. Between then and now, God has touched my life. God has cleaned me up. He's taken away those thoughts. So I'm no longer living by that. I'm living by the Word of God. Can anybody clap their hand and give God praise for His cleansing power? There's a purpose in your correction. There's a purpose in what you're going through. Then we look at the production. And I'm almost done. I know some of y'all are looking at the clock. How long he going to preach today? It's snowing outside. I got you. We're good. It's all about producing. It's not gaining a name for yourself. Now, if God, watch this. If God is at work trimming the vine, pruning it, preparing it, if He's the husbandman, which means He has a relationship with you that is not going to be something temporary, He's going to be there permanently. You got God Almighty making sure that the vine has everything that it needs, that the branch has everything that it needs. You got God Almighty. Then you got Jesus as the branch, as the vine rather, and the one supplying us with life. There is no reason why we can't produce. You got the goodness of God in you. You got the power of God working through you. Now you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. You see how it works? You see, that's how it works. Jesus said, now, abide in me. Abide in me. That word in the Greek means to dwell. It means to be placed in a permanent relationship with God. Don't be skipping out on God. Well, I'm going to try God this week and Buddha next week. It doesn't work that way. I'm going to try God and then I'm going to go over here with this other group and I'm going to meet with them. You better keep yourself where you are. God's not going to be in trouble. You're the one that's going to be in trouble. Remember that you're committed to Him and produce the fruit. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. You've got to live and dwell in Christ. Herein is the problem. That is the problem. We don't know how to abide. We don't keep a permanent spiritual address. Skipping about here and there. Thinking that you can skip church and not notice it. I'm talking to somebody. Thinking that you can skip Bible reading and not have an impact in your life. Thinking that you don't have to pray. You got to stop that temporary thing of going after the world and start saying to yourself, I'm focused on Jesus. I'm going to keep my mind on my Savior. I'm going to keep my mind on God, because the moment you skip out, the devil said, I got you right now. I watched some of these documentaries on these herds of animals that they have, and National Geographic has it on the program, where these herds of animals, they are going from place to place, the gazelles and different ones. They can run fast. As a matter of fact, a young gazelle, it has to learn how to run in a matter of hours. Not just to say, hey, I can run. It runs because the wolf, the predators, are not too far behind. And in watching these documentaries, I've watched how that as long as the herd stays together, running in the right direction, running in the same direction, everything is fine. Because wolves don't like crowds. But the one that gets lagging behind, not keeping up with everybody else, all that wolf has to do is to get between them and the rest of the flock or the rest of the fold. And when it gets between them, all it does, the number one job, let me separate them. Now let me cut them off. Let me make sure that they can't get back to them. And then they'll start circling. They'll start circling. How does the devil get into your life? He cuts you off from the fellowship. I would say to anybody, this church is not perfect. But I tell you what, it's a church in Jesus' name. Listen, I'd rather be in the fold than to have the wolf to come in and cut me off, because the next thing he's going to want to do is to devour me. Are y'all still here? And but for the grace of God, he would have devoured so many, but they found out, wait a minute, I need somebody. I need to be in a place where prayer goes up. I need to be in a place where praise goes up. I need to be in a place where they listen to the word. Amen. It may not be perfect, but at least I'm with the fold. Are y'all with me? As a matter of fact, a branch cannot bear fruit if it's disconnected with everybody else. It takes many branches, and it takes many that are connected in Christ. Are y'all still here? I'm trying to help you out with something, because you can always find a reason to say, I ain't going to that place no more. Then you go to another church, and they about as jacked up as the one you left. And the sad fact is, you don't even know the folk there. At least you know somebody. Hello, somebody. Can I get a witness here? See, you got to understand that Jesus is wanting to do a work in you. And you got to stand still and allow him to bless you. Abiding does not mean jump over here, jump over there, jump back there. Abiding means stand still and see the salvation of God. Look at somebody and tell them, stand still. God wants you to be in a place where he can work on you. God wants you to be in a place where he can dwell in you. And when he dwells in you, something begins to happen. You didn't know you had it in you. But the next thing you know, you're praying like you never prayed before. You're reading your Bible like you never read it before. Something good is about to happen to you. It's called production. You're producing the fruit of the Spirit because God is dwelling in you. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. I'm almost finished. I know some of you are asking, when is God going to get finished with this work? Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good question. I've known people that had produced fruit even after they were in the grave. Can I get a witness here? Because after you're dead and gone, your testimony is still going to be here. Somebody's going to remember the life that you live. Somebody's going to remember how you treated them. Somebody's going to remember how God was working in you. It's called a testimony. And God's going to keep on using you. He's going to keep on using you. Why? As long as he can get the glory out of your life, God's going to keep on using you. That's why I don't have time to get upset at people. I don't have time to wonder who said that and who did that. I'm too busy running on for Jesus. I got an agenda. Amen. I got a priority in my life. One thing I desire, that is what I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Can I get a witness here? I can't stop now. I got to keep moving until God says, well done, well done, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over me. I'm finished. That's all I'm going to preach today. Don't let folk mess up your fruit. If they come up there trying to pluck something off that's not ready, and God didn't, you... Because you are bearing fruit for God Almighty. And can I say, when he gets the glory, he's pleased with you. He's pleased with you. God is working in you. Never forget that. Never forget that. Every morning that you get up with that priority on your mind, that purpose on your mind. I want to glorify my Father. I want to honor God with my life. It says, this is how my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. There might be someone that's saying, I don't have a lot of fruit. Pastor, matter of fact, I'm struggling. We all are. Last week I was struggling with high blood pressure. Didn't know why it went up. But I said, God, I'm connected to you. I know you love me. I know you're going to take care of me. Everybody's going to have some trials. Doesn't mean that you are worthless. It means that you're worth something to God. And you got to let him work on you. You got to let him dwell in your life. If that's where you are, I know that in here we can give the invitation online. We're not able to do that. But you can connect to us here at Crossroads. You can send us an email, go to our website, send us an email, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we would love to help you in any way we can. But God's the main one. He's going to help you. He's going to provide for all of your need. And if you're in here, you've never trusted God at that level, that place where you are right now, we want to give the invitation to you and ask that you would surrender everything to Christ. Because he's that life-giving vine. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand. Come on, choir.
Praise God.